Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the top of the curve till very near the end. We had in the last hour, and if you only get 1 hour, you can always go to RadioMD.com and find a podcast of the other show or a replay of the other show. But we have 2 hours every week, and even when it's Christmas week or other weeks, I pre-record them. This is a live show, if you will, the week before Christmas. And we had on the first hour Lee Goldman, Too Much of a Good Thing. He talks about the genes that predispose us to want to eat, get hungry, and to get obese. The genes that cause us to prematurely develop high blood pressure. The genes that cause us anxiety. And the genes that cause us to clot too fast. How these were all useful. That is, clotting so you didn't bleed out. Not have anxiety when you were attacked. That is, to maintain your blood pressure and to eat so you didn't die in famines. All of those were appropriate responses in yesteryear when you only lived to 30, but now that we live to 100 or beyond, those aren't. But Dr. Goldman discusses this and what we should do. What I come to when I read the book, and it's a great book, Too Much of a Good Thing, is discuss that we should really all, if you maintain those six normals we talk about, blood pressure being normal, LDL cholesterol being normal, doing stress management routinely, your waist is less than half your height, your blood sugar less than 100 and zero nicotine, you will, in fact, outlive and outwit your genes, which is wonderful information because all of us can do it. We also spoke of the difference between, for example, West Virginia and wealthy areas of California, where people are taking control, but many of us aren't in the wealthy category and can't take control. So if you are in the wealthy category, congratulations, take control of your genes. You deserve to do that and to try and do that. But everybody should try and do that. And what Lee was hoping was that we have some strategic information, such as we've done with culturally with tobacco, to do the same thing for blood pressure, for anxiety, for clotting. What I take from it is, in fact, if you have a half a glass of warm water before and afterwards with those aspirin, I think the risk of bleeding with the aspirin and of taking a statin routinely, those things are good, and that we then need cultural changes, meaning change in cost of insurance, health insurance, just like we have for life insurance, so that we can do it. But that's my personal take on it, because in fact only one out of two of us who have obesity, not even overweight, have obesity, are concerned about that. And that is what's causing America's healthcare costs to now top $3 trillion. It's what's causing the prediction of a doubling in healthcare costs as a percent of our total spend by the year 2030. It can't happen. That is, we can't spend another 17% of our gross domestic product on health care. What will we cut out? Will we cut out manufacturing? Will we cut out home building? Will we cut out, what is going to eliminate? Well, if we go up that fast, we will end up probably with rationing. And that's not something I want for society, that you get this drug, you don't get it. What is the criteria? Is it going to be age? Is it going to be productivity and the rest of society? It's just bad. So we need to do something dramatic and substantial to change the culture where we can defeat these genes that predispose us to get obese or that predispose us to develop cancer or develop anxiety and depression disorders. So this book, Too Much of a Good Thing, very thought-provoking, and we need dramatic answers. One of those answers you heard from Stan Hazen that we talked about in the first hour. Stan Hazen is the one who came up with this wonderful discovery that the bacteria inside your gut take your red meat or your egg yolks or foods with lecithin, choline, and carnitine. Carnitine red, so pork has it. He found that cod, sea bass from Chile, and tilapia have a lot of this. So you want to have that decreased. And he found a pill that will do it. In the meantime, since we don't have the pill available and haven't tested that extensively in humans, just in animal models, that's what Stan Hazen's work that was published this week came out of. And you can look at it on the web by just look up Drug the Bug. Use DMB. Well, where's DMB? It's in balsamic vinegar. It's in olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. So if the olive oil is exposed to air, don't have one of those open-to-air little spigots on it. Don't have that. And it's in some red wine. The DMB drugs the bug and keeps you from producing inflammation. So does 2-aspirin, 2-baby aspirin. That's why 2-baby aspirin are much better than 1-baby aspirin. When we come back, we're going to talk to, we'll get to all of these topics in a little more detail, and I want to especially cover the one about immunity at the bottom of the hour going into the, for the last half hour of the show. But when we come back, we're going to get Gary Ginsberg. He's going to talk about the Flint, Michigan tap water disaster, what that means for the rest of us, what that means if you have to go to Flint, Michigan. I'd take a lot of bottled water with me. That's my short answer. Congress is one step closer to passing the TSCA legislation. What the heck is the TSCA? It's a major safety bill. Should become law next year, what you should know. Firefighting chemicals in drinking water become a national issue, and the EU bans triclosan while the U.S. is still reviewing what that means for you and your children. That's what we'll get to with Gary Ginsberg when we come back after the first break at the bottom, meaning from 17 after till the end of this hour. Drug the bugs is, this is a great hypothesis that Stan came up with. He's shown it's more than a hypothesis. You can go after the bacteria, because if we stop our trimethylamine production in the body, that is, stop trimethylamine, which is what your gut bacteria produce, from going trimethylamine oxide, which is what caused harm in you, you smell like a rotten fish. So we don't want you smelling a rotten fish. So DMB looks a little bit like choline. And what happens is you take this pill. It doesn't get absorbed by you. It just gets in your bacteria. It gets in your gut. And it changes. It absolutely changes the bacteria. So they still use the carnitine, the red meat. They still use it for energy by getting the carbon and hydrogen, but they don't produce the trimethylamine, and we expect it works the same way in humans. So that's the thing. What do you do in the meantime? Balsamic vinegar, a lot of extra, 4 tablespoons a day equivalent of extra virgin olive oil. You take it right before you have the red meat or the egg yolks, and if you will, some red wine, because the gut is such a nutrient-rich environment with plenty of molecules for the microbes to feast on. Choline may be off the menu for you. Hopefully red meat is, because at least it also has some other effects, but it appears this is major bad news effect. So we'll talk about, we've talked about that enough. We'll be right back to talk to Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic, what's not, and also why sensors let the elderly age in place. We'll be right back. Stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why?
because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutritional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order The Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's The Eye Care Revolution.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can: colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
My favorite part of the show every week is, in fact, Gary Ginsberg's section, What's Toxic, What's Not. His website is whatstoxic.com. But Gary, it's just a privilege to have you on the show and to learn from you. One of the things I want to learn is what's going on with Flint, Michigan's water supply.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, thanks for having me on again. And, you know, you want your tap water to be well tested. You want to make sure it doesn't have something like lead in the water. And we know, this is no big public health mystery, we've known for a long time that you got to keep lead out of your drinking water. And we have old lead pipes in old cities like Flint, Michigan, that could leach the lead. So it's really, really, really critical that the water itself is not what we call corrosive water. That the water coming into the residential plumbing has already been neutralized if it tends to be corrosive. And that's not what they were doing properly in Flint. So up until recently, like a year and a half ago, Flint was using Detroit city water and getting it trucked up, and they wanted to save some money, so they started drawing water out of Flint River. And the Flint River is a different chemistry than what was coming in from Detroit, and the local water companies had to treat the water to make sure it wasn't corrosive. Well, apparently, for whatever reason, I don't know, I'm not a water engineer, they didn't do the right thing. The water was way too corrosive, and some citizens got wind that they might have high lead in the water. A study by Virginia Tech University did an expose of Flint drinking water and found that more than 20% of it was elevated and problematical. And now a doctor's study, so the pediatricians in Flint did a zip code study of elevated blood leads, and they found that in those parts of Flint which received the better water back from Detroit, still, they're still getting Detroit water, the percentage of elevated blood lead is quite low, about 1% of the kids. Where, you know, kids are going to get elevated blood leads because they're exposed to lead paint from housing, old housing or whatever. But you don't want it to come from any extra sources like your drinking water. In those neighborhoods where they were getting the more corrosive drinking water, three times higher rate of elevated blood lead in those neighborhoods. So, you know, compared to the lead levels when I was a kid, this still is relatively low. But, you know, that wasn't good when I was a kid. And, you know, maybe I'm one of the lucky ones and wasn't brain damaged by lead, but there were other kids in my generation that were. And the more we can keep lead out of tap water today in major cities like Flint, Michigan, especially, where there's a large population, a large minority population, it's really, really important. And so, yeah, Flint has now put everybody off of that water, and they're doing further testing. But we've had a year's worth of elevated tap water so for lead in it. So, the bottom line is that you want to be looking at your CCR, which is the Consumer Confidence Report from your water company, comes out once a year, and make sure that all the testing is proper and normal and has been done right to test for corrosivity. You want to make sure that the water in your house, if you have old pipes, if your house was built before 1978 and could have old plumbing, before 1985, that's when they started changing out the old lead pipes, that the water has been tested from the water supply, that it is not corrosive, so that you know that your lead levels aren't high. And a simple trick to try to make sure that, you know, the water you're drinking is not really high in lead is don't drink the first draw in the morning or after the water's been sitting in the pipes for a while, like coming back from vacation. Let the water run for a good 30 seconds before you drink it, and that will help decrease the amount of lead that's been accumulated from your pipes.
So one of the tricks is get rid of the first 30 seconds of water. You should collect it in a bowl, if you will, and throw it outside. The lawn won't mind it.
Well, just let it run down the drain, but or also, of course, let the first 30 seconds go by, then draw a gallon of water or a half gallon of water and put it in your refrigerator, and then you've got drinking water and you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, very clever. So you could just put it in the refrigerator and save it for the whole day. Great. What's about firefighting chemicals in drinking water and it becoming a national issue?
Yeah. So this is a class of chemicals called perfluorinated compounds I've talked about before on the show, that there are no federal standard for. There are some ideas and thoughts about creating federal drinking water standards for these chemicals, but there are none now. And what that means is that water companies aren't compelled to test for them. So these compounds have increasingly been shown to be endocrine disruptive, possibly carcinogenic. Some of them may have effects at pretty low levels of exposure. And we're seeing, especially around military bases, the groundwater being affected, Air Force bases, because the firefighting foam that they use to train military personnel in putting out fires that would be, say, from crash landings, that historically has had high levels of these perfluoro compounds. That's the major ingredient in firefighting foam, of these perfluoro chemicals. So where they do a lot of burn practice, you might expect it, if they didn't do a good job of keeping it out of the soil, it would get to groundwater and contaminate areas around the military base. And so, for example, there's one town, a relatively small village in upstate New York, that has a cancer cluster, and they're they have some perfluoros in their drinking water, and they're seeing if there's a connection between those dots. And now there's at least five military bases around the country that appear, including one I've talked about on the show in New Hampshire, outside of Pease Air Force Base, that appears to have contaminated local drinking water. So we are hoping that the perfluoro compounds will be the subject of federal regulations, so that big water companies will have to test for them. Big water supplies probably aren't as vulnerable, however, as your private drinking water, because big water supplies tend to get water from large areas, and so if there is a local source of perfluoros, it may not tend to create a big problem for a big water supply, but a small water supply or your own private well could be a bigger issue, because that could be a hot spot. And so it's important for small supplies and for you as a private well owner to test your water. If you're anywhere near, especially old industry, because for example, the cluster that they think is in upstate New York, that wasn't firefighting foam, that was a plastics factory. So it could be coming out of industries, could also be coming out of, as I said, military bases, and that's where it's important to test.
Gary, I want to. What symptoms does this give people if they get these poor fluorocarbons?
Yeah, it may be thyroid-related symptoms. So hypothyroid would tend to be the direction of the thyroid issue. It may be other endocrine-related. One of the things that these chemicals appear to be related to is obesity, especially if you're exposed in utero. So it's not an acute kind of exposure symptom like, oh, my God, my skin's irritated, or, oh, my goodness, my stomach's upset. It's more of a endocrine hormonal effect that you might notice, and then you might think, well, maybe it's the water, maybe it's just my thyroid acting up. So anyway, it's just good to know whether it's in your water or not.
Gary, can you hang around for the next little bit after the break? Because I want to get to...
Sorry, not this week, Mike. I'd love to, but can we talk next week?
Yep. So we'll talk about the TSCA Act and also about triclosan next week. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaels.com.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organism. So the question is whether or not a seed or plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. I'm going to go through some quick-hitting stories now, so we cover all the stories from this week's top news, not just Stan Hazen's wonderful work on drugging your bugs in your intestine. We did that. So I'm going to now go, what is an acetaminophen or Tylenol's role in treating influenza symptoms? This is a randomized controlled trial. 80 people, 18 to 65, with confirmed influenza, that's flu infections, were randomly allocated to either Tylenol or placebo for 5 days. What happened? Nothing. They found the acetaminophen wasn't harmful, but it was not beneficial. Literally, had no impact on the virus shedding or your infectivity, no impact on your temperature, no impact on clinical symptoms, didn't help you get rid of the thing earlier or later, did nothing. Oh, you can take it if you feel like you want it. It's not going to harm you, but it's not going to help you either in any way. Bad press may make patients stop statins and raise heart attack risk. When the media was dominated by negative news stories about statins like Lipitor, Crestor, Atorvastatin, patients who were newly prescribed these drugs were 9% more likely to not get the prescriptions and 18% more likely to not fill them, 18% more likely to die during the follow-up period, 26% more likely to have a heart attack. Once you start these pills, don't stop them without your doctor knowing, and you should start them if your doctor prescribes them. Aspirin is the same way. Don't stop it without your physician knowing. Beta blocker is the same thing. So whatever you do, once you start it, keep going. Let your doctor know, because without you taking them, there is a rebound effect that makes it worse. And in fact, there is a real reason why your doctor probably put you on it. So those people who didn't start the prescriptions and those people who stopped were both more likely to have heart attacks and to die during the follow-up period. We already told you the story. Healthcare spending reached $3 trillion. Worse than that, it's supposed to double as a percent of income with just the influx of chronic disease by 2030. Please don't let it. Please get you to have your normals and talk to other people about that. The Cleveland Clinic has done it. Normal blood pressure, normal waist for height, normal LDL cholesterol, normal fasting blood sugar, no creatinine in your urine, and stress management. You reduce your risk of chronic disease 80% to 90%. The next set of study I'm going to skip ahead to we talked about Hazen's story, Drug Your Bugs. That is, there is a hope for being able to have red meat without getting the side effect. Don't go there yet. But if you must have red meat now, or even must have tilapia or cod or ocean trout, or must have egg yolks, then have a lot of olive oil and a lot of balsamic vinegar. Sensors let people who are elderly age in place for twice as long. Tiger Place, a retirement community in Columbia, Missouri, has integrated networks and sensors into its independent living homes with a positive result. The average length of stay per person, that is, the average time they can stay in their own home and their average health, as it means patients don't need to be transferred to a hospital or advanced care facility, has doubled. It's also less expensive at every step. Each Tiger Place patient saves about $30,000 in nursing home costs, while the nursing homes funded by Medicaid saved $87,000 per resident. The sensors enable the Tiger Place team to detect the potential problems days or weeks before health condition becomes serious. By using the data to inform decision-making and coordinate care with its on-site interdisciplinary team, those Tiger Place docs can offer cheaper and better and faster support to residents. That's all I know about that story. I wish I knew more. I'm going to try and find out more what the sensors actually are. Next story is on carbs, not fats, boost half-mile marathon race performance. This is a very interesting study where they took people who were going to run a half marathon, randomly allocated them to having carbohydrates or fat, and what did they find? The people who had the carbohydrate meal before and during the race ran and took and ran faster and had better times than those who got the fat. They didn't do a crossover. Double-blind study. Another study, canned fruit and vegetables. If you have canned fruit and vegetables, they're not as good as frozen or fresh, but in fact, they're awful damn good because they increase the number of servings of fruit and vegetables these 42,000 people have. So don't say no to canned fruit and vegetables. Do say yes to frozen. They're even better. But in fact, they will increase diet quality too, so enjoy them. Another study, choosing antibiotics over surgery for appendicitis. This is really, to me, a very, very interesting study because they took people who, I think it was 102 children between 9 and 13, and they asked the parent, would you rather have antibiotics or surgery? 65 families chose surgery, 37 chose management with antibiotics. By 21 months after the initial diagnosis, about a quarter of those who chose the antibiotics had to have an appendectomy. The other three quarters didn't. No significant difference in complications. No significant difference in reported quality of life. But as I said, if you don't want pain, if you don't want to worry about it again, surgery looked better from that standpoint. As a quarter of the kids who chose antibiotic management had to have the surgery anyway. Why is the flu shot less effective for the elderly? This is really a very, very important study because it tells us a lot about our immunity. As we get older, we lose what we call specific immunity. That is, when you have a flu shot, you don't react specifically to the flu shot and you don't build up antibodies, and it's less effective. And it appears that it's because you develop your non-specific immunity, that is, you react to everything the same way, and you over have too much inflammation that is non-specific and not enough that is from your specific cells. So what it does is it says, well, maybe we'll be able to do better with higher doses. That's why those over 65 now get a higher dose of their flu shot. That is a higher dose of flu antigen. That's the stuff that stimulates your reaction in your flu shot. And they respond better. But what we've got to do is figure out how to get the specific immunity restored. You die when you lose that specific immunity. So this is a key component that will be investigated, I assume, over the next few years, how to get more specific immunity, because we aren't doing as well. That is, we die with the non-specific. Two reasons why we may die with the non-specific. One is inflammation goes everywhere, including into your brain, and causes inflammatory changes, meaning you get less neuronal cells, you do less things well, it decreases your ability to have balance and more chance of fall and a break. And secondly, you don't fight cancers and other infections and infections as well. Now, exercise, yeah, it helps. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why exercise helps strengthen your immune system, and especially if you're elderly, what you should do to get more exercise to fight off colds and flu and cancers. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with the final top tips of this week.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease.
Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger, because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem-solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at ExactMind.com. That's the letter X, ACTMind.com. ExactMind.com.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, If you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and the Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. Before we went to the break, we were going to tell you how exercise might help you fight off colds. Yes, working out could help you fight off colds and other infections, according to a timely new study. The study, which found that regular exercise strengthens your immune system in part by repeatedly stressing it, was conducted in animals, not humans. So this is an animal study, but we think it really pertains to you and other humans. In broad terms, your immune system reacts to invading bacteria and viruses through a variety of cells. The initial cells, those white cells, respond in a non-specific way. And the problem is that those cells, especially, inflammation can get out of hand. If the inflammatory response to an infection or injury is too robust, too large, or too indiscriminate, the inflammation can ultimately cause more tissue damage and lingering health problems than it prevents. But fat cells are often problematic too. They produce inflammatory cells, especially those fat cells in your belly, in greater amounts than needed to fight germs, in some cases, even when there's no infection. As a result, obesity in animals and people leads to elevated levels of inflammation throughout your body, and interestingly, a weaker immune system response to specific inflammation. So when you get the flu, you respond overall with inflammation. You get fever, but you don't kill off the flu bug. It lives longer. Inflammation rapidly blossoms in sedentary infected animals in the study. That is, they took rats and some got fat and some they made run on treadmills. Yeah, you can make a rat run on a treadmill. And it turned out the ones that got thinner had better immune systems and better and got rid of the flu and other bacterial infections, whereas the ones that were fatter didn't. We think the things are similar in humans, that regular exercise improves the immune response by not having this non-specific fat cell in your belly inflammatory response. So you respond better to viral infections such as cold and flu, that you respond better to specific cancers. And that's probably the number two or three top story of the week. That is, you die when your immune system stops responding specifically. That's one of the things that happens as you get elderly. And it's one of the things that happens when we get too fat. Let's go to the In Case You Missed It segment. This is, I'm paralleling something that Dr. Oz did on his show, but I really love this, In Case You Missed It. So, wellness, bad press. Patients who stop taking statins or stop taking aspirin because of bad press, or stop taking diabetic medications or stop taking heart medications, don't do that. Talk with your doctor first, because when there's a rebound increase in heart attacks, strokes, when you stop taking things, don't pay attention to the bad press. Talk to your doctor, especially with atorvastatin and rosuvastatin and Lipitor and Crestor. Those really are good drugs, but they also have rebound effects. So does aspirin. Just stopping aspirin suddenly increases your risk of heart attack. If your cholesterol levels are high, a second top story of the week, your doctor might prescribe that statin, a drug that blocks one of the enzymes that creates cholesterol. But in the future, your doc might also prescribe a second drug that doesn't do anything in you. It just does stuff to the bacteria in your gut. It, in fact, increases the DMB level, which blocks the conversion of red meat and egg yolks and even cod and that Chilean sea bass and tilapia to TMAO in your body by blocking the gut microbes, by blocking the bacteria inside your gut, taking those red meat and pork and other products and turning it into TMA. So it blocks that DMB. What can you do in the meantime? A lot of olive oil, 4 tablespoons a day, or red wine, or balsamic vinegar, or all of the above. Another study, if you will. The obesity is increasing kids with cholesterol abnormalities. 43% of obese kids have abnormal cholesterol that will drive heart attacks in early age. Only 14% of normal weight. Get your kids' cholesterol measured at age 5, age 10, and every 5 years thereafter till 30, when you probably want to start it every year. We already talked about consuming canned fruits and vegetables, not as good as fresh or not as good as frozen, but still darn good. They increase the fruit and vegetable intake that people who use them have, increasing diet quality in those individuals. We exercise fights off the cold by decreasing fat, especially belly fat. That's a good thing. We talked about, didn't talk at all about the Nutty Rice Bucket Challenge. Go to nuttyricebucket.org. Nutty, N-U-T-T-Y, ricebucket.org. It's what happens when you try and strengthen your grip strength. Who uses a rice bucket? Well, you put in 25 pounds of rice for women, 30 pounds of rice for men. You can go to nuttyricebucket.org and order the right type of buckets. But these are those same big 5-gallon buckets. You fill those up and you practice manipulating your hands in them to get to the bottom. Catchers and pitchers do it. People who climb rocks do it. Pole vaulters do it. Defensive linemen do it. It's a way of strengthening your hand. Dr. Oz beat me in this only because I forgot to take off my coat. You can't wear a coat while you're doing it because you can't get the rice. You can't go in the rice far enough. But anyway, this is a great way, great fun thing to do at a holiday party. Order it at nuttyricebucket.org. Get all the supplies. All you need to do is add the long grain rice, and then you can see your time. Who gets down to the bottom and pulls up the walnut back is, in fact, If you do that faster, you've got stronger grip strength, you're going to live with less disability. But all of us should do it, because strengthening your grip strength decreases your risk of dying from a whole bunch of causes. We don't know why. We think it's because your grip strength is so important in everything you do in daily life. Nutty Rice Bucket. Sorry, I didn't talk about that. The Automegas, we talked about, one in five kids has an abnormal high cholesterol, and it's all those kids who are obese have much higher levels. Sensors are letting kids age in place, letting elderly age in place, sorry. That is in this Columbia, Missouri. I'm going to try and find out more what sensors they're using, but they're spotting medical problems early, intervening on it so that people will live longer. We'll be right back next week with a new show, so stay tuned, even during Christmas week, on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thanks for listening. Stay well.